Hello, everybody. Welcome to this isolation quarantine podcast. It's going to be a lively show today. There's no doubt about that. I am Tom Shanklin.
I'm Di Flats. Why is it going to be lively?
I don't know. I just wanted to sound upbeat, mate. Well, it's going to be lively because Dwayne John Peel is coming on the podcast later. We're going to call him. We're actually going to FaceTime
Peely.
Him. Yeah, the Peelmeister. Yeah. We're going to FaceTime him, but you guys listening won't see that. I just want to see what he looks like, what he's wearing, how long his neck's become.
He's got quite a long neck, isn't he?
Cyril the Swan, we used to call him. and I've not spoken to him for time, man, for time. So
for time, is it?
I'm looking forward to that. I'd send him the odd text. His mum's not been very well, so we'll just find out about how he's coping at the moment, and hopefully some bloody inside knowledge about when the league and rugby's going to start again, when it's safe.
I don't reckon there is any.
Stop it, Dave. Stop it. I said this was going to be lively. It's going to be positive. Just because Clean Air Bath hate you, you don't have to spread that on to me.
I think there might be a couple. It might be I think it's a bloke because he calls me mate every now and again on tweets. But I think there's a, you know, some people in their Twitter handles, they put their name or the name of their profile rather, and they put certain symbols in there. This person, I think, has multiple accounts and is very, very anti, pro climate change, you know what I'm saying? He wants to take care of the environment, which is great, but very, very anti Bath rugby and piled in when coronavirus really kicked off and people started to die, piled in and said, Bath rugby want to build a car park or want to build if they have a rubber pitch, they'll do this, and they want a car park and it's going to damage the environment. And at this time, he used the coronavirus to slag off Bath rugby stadium plans. And it's like, mate, it was actually really tasteless. And I don't normally bother with stuff like that, but I fired in, which you enjoyed. And he ended up tried to fire back into me and then deleted his original tweet. It was actually a really gross tweet that he put out. But then yesterday he was piling into me saying that I'm polluting the air because I'm doing barbecues in my garden. And then the government have asked us to stop. So I went and Googled it and I was like, I couldn't find the government having asked us to stop barbecuing in our gardens.
I think Australia, maybe, but God, they love a barbecue, don't they?
Nothing else to do down there.
Yeah, but you're his scapegoat, aren't you? You know, he's venting all his frustration through you.
But he was straight away, really, really aggressive. So I just blocked him. And that's actually quite frustrating when you want to be angry with somebody.
Yeah. So what have you done?
I don't know who he is, but I don't care who he is.
What have you done with the petrol generator for your outside lighting and all your five diesel cars on your forecourt?
That's what I need. I was gonna make a hilarious joke online and say, well, I've offset it by not driving the Range Rover for the last 3 weeks. But then I thought, nah, it might not go down brilliantly.
Make sure you do drive it because you do want the DPD filter filling up because. That's my nemesis.
No, the DEF, diesel exhaust fluid. DPD is a delivery firm that brings your meat boxes to you.
Yeah, I'm just getting confused now. That's what isolation's done to me. Yeah.
You
got it. You know the one.
I'm driving a lot. I'm driving a lot at the moment. I've got a little, as you know, a tiny little place down in Devon. And I'm just going down there and spending a few days there at the moment undercover, not tweeting about it, and just chilling out on the boat and doing barbecues. And
are you going on quad
going
bikes?
For walks? Yeah, going on quad bikes. Just going down there. And
I know someone like that.
It's nice. You stop at the services on the way down and have lunch and stuff. It's really, there's no one on the road, so it's great.
Ah, well done. You're obviously joking. Please tell people because a lot of people
won't realize.
A lot of people will actually think you're being literal because they know what you like. They know what you like when it comes to rules and laws.
I'm an activist, actually.
Well, that's what I think of your selection policy. Now, leave me alone. Welcome to John O'Groats.
Say again.
So that's what I think of your selection policy. Now leave me alone and walk into John O'Groats for some special people.
Let me tell you about something I did yesterday which really bore fruit today.
Oh.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, so, well, teed it up.
Obviously, we're all I guess we're all slash most of us trying not to spend any money at the moment, because we might never earn any money ever again, and we're just sort of delaying homelessness, really, a lot of us self-employed people. But keep it upbeat. But I did go online and I did spend over £4 on Amazon, and I got a little light blue rubber ball with a spout, a long spout on the end, which I had before, but had one but lost it. And I'm not showering all the time. I'll try and keep this short. I'm not very good at that. I'm probably showering every other day at the moment to save the environment, and also because I can't be arsed. But I am quite pernickety about certain things being up together, and my cauliflower ear doesn't clean itself as well as a normal ear, right? I'm always at it.
I haven't got self-cleaning ears.
No, but they do. They kind of do a bit, and they stay about right. And you're not meant to use Q-tips and stuff for your ears, are you? But my collie gets clogged up a little bit because it's got a funny shape and the air doesn't flow through it or something. So I got one of these little things, and you suck up a load of warm water into it, and you put the spout in your ear and you squirt it into your ear. You do like half a cup's worth of water or a cup of warm water. You squirt it in. And it's not like loads of stuff. I love this stuff. Like, I'm addicted to this kind of stuff online. And I watch all these pimple popper videos and ingrown toenail removals and tooth removals and stuff. And not a lot came out. And I was like, oh, boring. The kids were gathered around. They couldn't wait. It was a real family thing. It was going to be a great day. But nothing really came out. And then today, I turned my head to look at something, felt something in my ear, pulled out. I don't want to exaggerate this. The size of
Africa.
One 5 pence piece on top of another.
Photo evidence.
No, it's gone. I should have done that. It's gone in the bin.
All right. There, I don't believe you then. Don't believe
it's true.
I don't believe ears are self-cleansing. I believe hair is when you grow it, when you don't wash it for a certain amount of time. And also a woman's anatomy, I think, is self-cleansing. But ears are new
what
to
is?
Me.
What is?
You heard.
What, a woman's anatomy? Is it really?
Apparently so, when I've researched it for...
You'd know.
Medical purposes, yeah.
You'd know.
Okay, so what was it that you pulled out? Cartilage? Wax?
It was a key ring. A key ring.
Lego.
It was one of those key rings with a laser on the end of it. I wonder why I had a headache.
Yeah.
Make you go blind, eh, Cad?
A cocoon.
It was a cocoon. No, it was half a tarantula. It was I couldn't tell you what it was, but you wouldn't want to eat it.
Oh, okay.
Well, you might. I wouldn't.
Take photos.
Kids loved it.
Take photos of stuff like that. Because that is
I know, you're right.
You want to send that off. I'll actually get it tested.
I'll actually go back in the bin. When I go downstairs in a bit, I'll go back in the bin, see if I can find it.
Do you know what I'd love right now? And I texted you about it, and I saw it.
A proper aggressive hat. Go on then, what?
A model racing car, which I can build.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be brilliant. It could take you probably maybe 4 days, 4 evenings. But
yeah,
remember the Tamiya ones?
Yeah.
Like, I think there was, I can't remember if it was Bigfoot or there's Grasshopper.
Clodbuster.
Yeah. Something like that, I reckon, which you could...
Lunchbox.
You could take your time. Linford Christie, which you could take your time to build, paint it, you know, make sure it's perfect. And then take it out in the garden or out the front. But I can't bring myself to spend money at the moment, so I'm going to put that on my birthday list. And I also want an M6 driver. They're on sale at the moment as well for like £250, which when I come back into work and I start earning, that is probably going to be my first purchase. Make myself feel better.
The M6 driver.
For golf season, yeah. Yeah. What's the first thing you're going to buy / get for free?
Well, buy. It's funny that I'm a Tamiya Kino as well, because I follow them on Twitter and I love all their stuff, but I've never actually got around to buying one. Now would be the perfect time to have one, but I don't want to spend £300 really. Oh god, Tommy, first thing I buy is
deck shoes.
Oh no. God, you know what, I don't know what I'll buy. I don't feel massively like I need anything that I haven't got at the moment.
You used to spend a lot.
Food.
You used to spend a lot.
Masses, yeah.
Do you think this time in isolation has sort of showed you that you actually don't need to spend? Because now is the time which probably most online spending gets done, when you're bored, when you're looking through your computer, what can I buy? But because I'm the same.
I've never spent less than I have in the last month.
I think at one stage I got addicted to Amazon. You know, I'd buy stuff just to send it back. But I actually realise now the only thing I really need is food and liquid. Yep. So I'd say this period that we have been locked up, I've spent less than any other period. Because you're not using your car, you're not driving, you're not buying stupid things, clothes. My biggest purchase, I think, has been some face cream.
You got face cream?
Yeah.
So it's definitely got a bronzing element to it, hasn't it?
Might have a hint of something in it, or a tint. Some L'Oreal hydration cream. It's not got a tint of anything in it, mate. I've just been out in the sun. This has taught me that
face cream.
You know, stop buying stupid purchases that you never ever use.
Yeah. So I said I bought a couple of things. I bought a couple of barbecue rubs. I bought a charcoal chimney starter thing, which is like a tenner.
They are good.
Yeah, because my other one's in Devon and I can't go and get it. And a basting brush. I bought a couple of and some heavy duty tin foil. Basically, I've probably spent about £20 on barbecue stuff. And that is just to make life easier. And that is about it, really. Just don't need anything, do we?
No.
Like, it's...
No, not really. You've got Netflix. You've got Amazon.
Got Spotify, Amazon Prime, Netflix, BT TV. Done.
Do you know, someone's been tweeting us, because we've mentioned Tiger King quite a bit. Louis Theroux has done a documentary on Joe Exotic. I think it was actually done before Tiger King was released. And that is on Netflix. It's meant to be really good. I also saw you... Not that I'm stalking you or jealous of you, but I saw you converse, I think, with Chris Jones from BBC.
Yes.
Does a rival podcast, Uber Slick. Looks a little bit homeless. You were talking to him about Save Me and Save Me 2.
Oh.
So I've just started that. It's on Sky Atlantic, I think, or Sky One.
Oh.
It's on
Lenny
Catch
James.
Up now. Yeah, he's really good. He was also in Line of Duty, I think, the first ever series. Really like him. I think I'm 3 episodes in, and I love it. I love it. So
he is just
thank you, Chris.
He's a man. He's a man who's barely holding it together, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. It's funny because I mentioned it to someone I know, a member of my family, and she said, "Oh, I really struggle to watch that because he's just." I can't watch him in it. I can't watch him. It's unbearable. And then I mentioned it. I was driving, actually the other day, back from the shop. And I drove past a friend and stopped and spoke for like, they were behind their gate sort of thing. And I said, have you watched that? And she was like, no, I just can't watch him. I cannot watch him in that. It's unbearable. It's funny, isn't it?
But why?
I don't know. Maybe because he's just in free fall, isn't he? And it's just excruciating to watch. I don't know. He's amazing.
He is
amazing.
So I've been watching that. Finished Ozark.
He wrote it as well, by the way.
Yeah,
he wrote
I saw that. Finished Ozark, series 3. Wow.
Have you?
Wow. What a great ending. What a great series. I think that has been my favourite series out of all of them, series 3.
Oh, really? Mm. Okay. I'm only 4 in.
I'm not spoiling it for you at all, but it's brilliant.
Absolutely. Do you know what my kids are caught into the last few days? They're allowed a movie
Dexter.
A day at the moment. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Gilly Cooper Ryder's books.
They've got into Harry Potter. Never watched it. I've never watched any of them or read the
Have
books.
You not?
And they and they love it.
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's. I mean, I can get my head around Harry Potter and you know the magic that goes on. That's believable, but. A ginger kid, Ron Weasley, having 2 friends.
No. I know. Think about it. Think about it.
Joking.
It is brilliant. The imagination in those movies is just out.
They get
world.
Better as well because they sort of, they evolve with the watchers.
The
you
tech.
Know, so when people first start watching them, they're you know, as they grow older, so you know the magic and the films actually get for an older generation as well. So it's really good. Mm. They've also got spin-offs of the Harry Potters as well, which really? Is good. Yeah. Yeah.
What are they?
Oh, I'm trying to think of it now. I'll have to Google what they are.
Oh, I'm trying to get the girls to watch E.T., but they want to watch every Harry Potter at the moment. Oh, by the way, I've got
Fantastic
a big joint
Beasts
of pork.
And Where to Find Them.
Oh, well done. Okay, I'll have a look at that. I've got a big joint of pork tonight, and I'm putting it on the rotisserie. I'm going to try and rotisserie a joint of pork.
Okay. Don't dry it out, because that's why I don't eat pork that much. I mean, if it's cooked well, it's...
Well, I'm going to rub it. I'm going to rub it silly.
It's a beautiful
piece. Try and lock some of that moisture in, yeah.
I made homemade sausage rolls yesterday, as you saw.
Yeah, they look pretty special.
Yeah. Really easy. Do you want to make them?
Yeah.
Okay, it's too easy, actually. You buy some puff pastry.
Yeah.
Roll it out. I've got...
Put your sausage in it and cut it into bits.
Well, take the skin off the sausage first.
Yeah.
Season it a bit. I use a bit of Worcester sauce. But you can sort of cut the skin off the sausage and leave it in the same shape. Salt and pepper. Egg wash it. And then fold it over. Sort of squeeze it down with a fork. And I put some sesame seeds on it just for show. I mean, the picture I showed, it looked really dark, the meat, but it wasn't. It was...
Lush, was fine. It?
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, well done. That's good stuff.
That's like a cheat day snack, though.
Yeah, that's good. Do you know what I will... every day's cheat day for me. Tonight, I will also double wrap some potatoes in tin foil, and I will just chuck them down on the coals for a while the pork's cooking, and they will be lush.
Sound like a scout. You sound like a scout doing a Duke of Edinburgh award or something. Will you have a toggle on?
Eh?
Were you a scout?
No, I wet myself at Cubs. At Beavers. I wet myself at Beavers and never went back.
I was a cub for a little bit, but...
Bet you were.
Then I found girls. No, I found sport. Didn't have time.
How old were you when girls started liking you?
41? After the second Grand Slam, I think, mate. Till then, I really struggled.
Yeah, I never quite got there. I'd love to have got there.
There was a few of us, though. It wasn't just me. Gethin Jenkins, another one.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Hanging bloke.
And then you get Jamie Roberts, then, who turns up, and, you know, he's got a whole PR team behind him. He still has now, actually. Just follow on social media. But,
do you know what? A lockdown challenge for Jamie would be to do a good deed and not tell anyone about it. That'd be a good challenge for him.
Ooh, that is a challenge.
Yeah. I don't. I just don't do any good deeds.
I do. I sponsor a lot of people. I'd love to do like what Ryan Jones is doing. He ran a marathon in his garden. Fair
Go on
play.
Then.
I can't run, mate. My knee's knackered. It's so sore at the moment. I'm trying to row in the garden. It even hurts. I can feel like something flicking every time my knee bends.
Ooh.
He's doing 100-mile cycle. 100 people are joining in, I think, to do it online. So obviously you need the equipment, whether it's like a spin bike or...
Because otherwise you'd do it, wouldn't you? If you had the equipment, you'd do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. But he's raised 10 grand for that, and also the money he raised for his marathon. So,
oh, legend. That's class. I love that.
I mean, people do a lot of challenges, which I think is amazing, but I'm one of those that I like to sponsor. That's my way of giving something back. But
yeah,
I don't tell everyone about it. I'm just telling you now.
And if you just did.
Yeah, well, I'll edit this bit out. You know me.
Yeah, all right, fella. By the way, Tommy, I'm trying to eat more fish at the moment.
Okay. What fish?
Well, salmon. I've tried a bit of coley because it's super cheap and it's actually quite tasty if you garlic it up a little bit. Monkfish is my favourite, fella.
Coley or coley?
Coley.
You're in a coley.
Coley. Okay. But monkfish is my favourite.
Okay.
Meaty, isn't it?
Well, I'm making fish pie. Next couple of days.
Yeah.
I don't really like smoked fish, though. I like smoked salmon, but I don't like smoked sort of mackerel or kippers. Ever since someone hid 4 smoked mackerel in my car.
In my Hyundai, your accent. Kia. My Hyundai accent, that's right. Yeah.
Sport.
1.3. Yeah. Sport.
So
Cockpit Shanklin.
Tomato sauce. Thank you, Kevin Sorrell.
on the bonnet. Well done, Kev.
But I'm making it with cod, salmon, and some prawns.
Oh, that'll be nice, fella.
Philadelphia, maybe some creme fraiche, some lemon juice, some parmesan as a sort of cheese sauce, and a layer of a mix between potato and sweet potato on top. Complex carbs for a complex guy.
Very, yeah, you really are.
Yeah.
You really are, fella.
I'm an onion when it comes to my feelings and emotions.
You really are.
I know, I know what it feels like to cry.
Should we have a chat with old Pilo then?
Well, what are we going to talk to him about?
I'm going to ask him about getting kicked in the head by Danny Grucott.
Okay.
I'm going to ask him about whether he really likes Mike Phillips or not, or if he actually resents him.
And Gareth Cooper. Who does he like more? Yeah. Mike Phillips, Gareth Cooper, or Rob Howley?
Yep.
Rank them in order.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Who do you think's the best player?
Okay. It sounds better coming from you, right? Because I know him very well. But ask him if he had to sing a song after a game with another player who used to play in the back row / second row, what song would he sing? Because he does a great rendition.
If he had to what? Say that again.
If he had to sing a song after a game with another player.
Yeah.
It's John Thomas, okay, but you know, don't obviously say that. Who would the other player be and what song would he sing?
Okay, fine. Right, let's call him.
Okay, right, let's go.
All right, Peely.
How are you, pal? You okay?
Good. How's it going?
Good, thanks, mate. Very good.
Very good.
Are you in Ireland or Wales?
No, I'm in Ireland. Northern Ireland.
How can we get to the level of very good then, mate? Because we're all right at the moment. Like, I want to be your level.
Very good pushing it.
You're flying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Absolutely flying. Best time I've ever had.
He's got a job, that's why.
I'm talking myself positive.
Yeah, the missus is in earshot, that's all.
That's it, yeah. just
the kids. He's just got a job, mate. He doesn't go on about it, but he has got a job, so he's fine.
Right.
What's crack?
Oh, nothing, mate. Nothing, mate. We're just chewing the fat online, just trying to kill a couple of hours, have a bit of me time. So
nice, mate.
Yeah. How are you,
Tommy
anyway?
Time.
I'm good, thanks. Yeah.
How's the family?
Good. Yeah, they're okay. Okay. Weather's good, isn't it? Helps.
Yeah.
Imagine this in the middle of November.
After Christmas, with shocking weather. Can you imagine having that 3 weeks at home, inside?
That'd be horrible.
That'd be horrible.
Are you? How many kids have you got?
Two.
How old are they?
9 and 6.
Oh, they're horrible, mate. Okay. Well. They're horrible.
You homeschooling? Are they? You homeschooling?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half hour in the morning. That's it. We do a lot of...
Half an hour. PE. Yeah. Exactly.
We do a lot of PE and HE as well. We do a lot of HE as well. Baking. Cooking.
Good stuff.
You know, TV can be educational. Like, you know, Harry Potter, there's some new words in that. They're learning about wizards.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what are you doing with your time then, boy?
We're just kind of keep busy. So we're doing a bit of stuff, a bit of work stuff, a bit of planning and stuff.
Yeah.
Just trying to get all that done. Homeschooling.
Yeah. Are you a good teacher or?
No.
Do you do it in Welsh?
The wife. You do? No, we have Welsh lesson on a Friday.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can you speak Welsh? Do you speak Welsh?
Yeah. We speak Welsh at home. So they can speak Welsh, but they're not ideal at reading and stuff yet. Reading Welsh because they're not doing it in school and stuff. So we're just trying to get topped up.
We've basically rung you, right? So we want some inside knowledge or information about when the season's going to start.
Can you tell us when coronavirus is going to end, please?
Next week? Is it starting next week?
So I don't know. It's obviously up in the air. Are we started recording yet or not? Are we just chewing the fat?
We're in. No, we're in, mate. We're in.
Oh,
we're
mate, you've got to give me the heads up, mate.
Shanks never does. He's an absolute knifer.
I got to put my business head on.
Shanks is a knifer.
Get your PR head on. Yeah. It's all right. Jamie Robinson's got a team, a PR team. We'll let you lend it out.
Okay, cool.
Get you out of trouble.
So we don't know. Like, so we're off, or not off, for boys at home training. For another month, more than a month at least. So mid May the 18th is the planned day. We'll go back to group training, but obviously that's up in the air, I suppose.
Who knows?
Until
really,
when? Yeah, and in terms of the league and stuff, we're really unsure, really, of what you know. Obviously, that everything else will dictate, I suppose.
I've seen on social media you've taken your wife Jess for a couple of hard sessions and some training sessions as well.
Come on, mate.
What have you been? That's what I meant. What have you been? How have you been keeping fit?
No, so we've been doing the Joel Wicks with the kids.
We did that like for 2 days.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
The kids are bored of it, but me and Jess are still do it.
The kids lost interest after they didn't get a shout out. So
yeah, exactly. So they've been. That's we've been trying to do that, and then just knocking around the garden, trying to keep busy, really. Yeah.
Do you reckon the lads are training, or do you reckon there's a few lads who aren't bothering?
Well, they've got GPS units, so it's not like it's not like our day where you could.
Terror.
Yeah.
You could put it on the dog. The heart rate monitor on the dog.
Oh, that is Sarah. GPS. That's so out of order.
Yeah. So the boys are pretty keen. You know what it's like, though. I think just. Because they've sent out home programs, I think just having structure is important for them. And like when you're in rugby and stuff, I think everything's catered for you and structure of the day. And,
yeah.
You know, everything's, you hear, there's times of everything, timings for everything. So I think having structure for the lads is huge, I think. So just having home programs is probably really, you know, really good mentally as well.
You cooking or just cooking or what's your go-to meal?
I'm not a great cook. No. So I've been barbecuing a bit. I enjoy the barbecue.
It's the best way to cook because you're outside and it makes you feel cool.
Yeah, and you can have a quiet beer then as well when you're barbecuing.
Yeah.
Except my son put a spiral bomb on my barbecue yesterday, which I wasn't too pleased about.
bent
the handle a bit, so.
Oh no.
A spiral. They're actually very difficult to do, aren't they?
Yeah. You were the master at them, though.
Remember, they used to call me the mule.
Why?
I actually don't know. We had a move called the mule where I'd, when I had to play on the wing, I'd have to come off the wing and take it off nine.
And kick.
You took it off Dwayne there.
I was a left foot.
Did you make any ground?
Straight to deck. Quick ball.
I was diving ankles like Matthew Rees.
Peely, I wanted to ask you about something I remember, which you may remember, but I played for a long time with Danny Grucock, who you will have played against a few times England-Wales games, and Wales-England rather, sorry. And he used to have various techniques for hurting people, but making it look like part of the game. Like he would very happily chase a kickoff when his team was kicking, and he would jump really high for the ball with his knee in the air, and it might just knee you right in the back or the Swede or something, but it looked like he was going for the ball. One of his techniques for a while was
went to the nine.
Yeah.
I got the scar on my head. I still got the scar on my head, yeah.
Have you?
See it there?
Yeah, we were on FaceTime here.
We were on FaceTime, obviously. But that's it, yeah.
Wrinkles.
With his, yeah, I know. It. That's
he used to step right over and just boot you on, and he'd say, "I'm going for the ball, ref, going for the counter, right." Do you remember that? Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. So, so it's funny actually because I've got a grog at home, and it's got the blood of that game coming like that incident.
It?
So my boy keeps asking me about it. He keeps wanting
memories.
To see it all the time.
Do you remember?
You're not alone, mate. You did it to a lot of people.
Do you remember Peely when we? I think it was 2004 maybe, and we or three it might have been. I can't remember. Playing in England, right? And we had this secret weapon, which was you jumping at the front of the line against Martin Johnson.
Yeah.
Remember that? Remember that's how we thought we were going to beat England.
Dominated it. I know.
Surprise him.
I remember going up for a ball, front ball. I went up to try and compete, and I got elbowed straight in the nose. Okay. So I'd hit them, and I was literally falling from the top of the line now on my knees in pain, just holding my nose, like thinking, like, what is going on?
Mate, you've taken the short straw a couple of times because that was one. Remember in the Lions 05 and they wanted to do something to the Haka and they created this massive, it looked like, I don't know what it was, a massive setup, but it had to be led by the youngest person in the team, which was you. So you basically had to watch the Haka on your own.
Yeah, the worst thing about that is, right, so when we were planning it into in like rehearsing it, what we were going to do, so I was standing at the front, and then Brian O'Driscoll was on his knees just in front of me. And then that sounds dodgy, but that's what he was doing. But then, and everyone else was sort of like 10 meters in an arc around us. When it came to the game, everyone was standing about 40 meters back. They were on the 22, and we were right up the front. Oh my god! So good memories, though.
You had a face on your own.
Well, it didn't go very well. We scrapped it after the first test.
I think we won that series. I can't remember.
No one remembers. It's fine. You won it. So how's life over in Northern Ireland then? Is it a bit odd being stuck over there and not sort of back at home? Or are you all right?
No, we're okay, thanks. Yeah, so look, we've been here 3 years now, so I suppose we settled a bit here, you know, so it's everything's a bit strange, isn't it? Obviously, I suppose it's the same everywhere. Everyone's sort of following the same sort of lockdown measures everywhere. So just trying to get on with it as best we can, really.
You ever tempted to come back to Wales? Not so much during this period, but obviously Brad Moore leaving the Scarlets. You got any ambitions to come back, or are you quite happy learning your trade there?
I think at some point, yeah, definitely I'd like to come back, obviously. At some point, if the opportunity arises, I'd like. But at the minute, it's I'm obviously on the contract here, and enjoying it. I think they're a good bunch of boys to work with here. Things have been going fairly, okay for us. So yeah. Just trying to learn the trade and just work hard, really.
I've got a question for you, and you don't have to give an honest answer, but you do really. Like there's always guys you compete with, and some people find themselves being like best mates with their number one competitor and whatever, but not very often. Usually they don't actually like them. They just have to pretend to because they're in the public eye.
Yeah.
So guys like Mike Phillips, do you actually like him, or do you actually resent him and hate him a little bit?
No, I don't resent him and hate him. I think in all sports, I think you have not a rivalry, but you're very competitive. I was a competitive person, and from that perspective, you're always going to be competitive against your opposition. But no, I never really had a massive grudge against anyone, really. If I'm perfectly honest, I think competitive, yes, but not like to the point where
that's a shame.
You're disliking people, no.
You had 76 caps for your country, right?
Well done.
Yeah, congrats. But there was an opportunity that potentially you could have got, 30, 40 more. When you look back now, you're retired. Is there anything you would have done different, or are you happy with the decisions you made? I mean, you've had an all right career.
Fine.
Yeah, it's been all right. Yeah. The decisions I made, I've really enjoyed. I really enjoyed my career, and I think obviously moved a bit and moved to Manchester and lived there for a while and played for Sale, and I really enjoyed from what it gave me as a person as well. I really enjoyed that. I thought that it would be easy for me to stay in South Wales, and I would have enjoyed that as well. But I think just in terms of, I think we really enjoyed our time up there.
Yeah.
I think so. So no regrets from that perspective.
What about if you look back now at your career, what would be your favourite game? What game would you look back on now and think, that's the one, that's the fondest one?
Yeah, I think the big games, I think they're a number, really. And I think it goes in stages of a career, when you're young and you get an opportunity to play for the Scarlets first, because Scarlets was obviously my home club as well. I grew up watching them, so to make your debut there, and then when you move on and play big European games for them, I thought they were massive. Playing against Leicester at home and Munster at home and big games there at Stradey Park, I really loved them.
Yeah,
I think internationally, obviously the Grand Slam game of 2005 stands out for me. The reason it stands out is because
man of the match.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah,
took it off me.
Took it off you. Yeah,
I had it the week before as well. Greedy.
Greedy. Yeah, but I think just because we'd gone so long without having one, and you know, for in terms of our age, we never really knew a team who'd gone on to win Grand Slams, and never followed a team. You know, being, you know, obviously Welsh fans, so for us it was, you know, 27 years I think it was. So it was an awesome day, and everything was good about that. Like the crowds and stuff was great. The weather was awesome, and you know, I think for us that'll always, I think, be stand out as a huge game.
You've also played in a couple of different positions, scrum half and left wing. I've seen you on there.
Yeah.
Before.
Played full backwards.
Full, so. Did you?
Did you?
Against America.
Why
did
you
that go?
It was all right. I think it was all right. Yeah.
I remember Peely coming on the wing against Pacific Barbarians in Japan, right? And he's just looking at me and he's going, What do I do?
I don't know.
I've got no idea. Just trying. You had someone really big in front of you as well.
Mate, he's massive. He's some Fijian guy. He's huge. I was thinking of myself, right, this time would have been 2001. I'd probably been about 10 and a half stone. And I was thinking of this guy. And I was thinking, oh, if this guy gets the ball, there's no chance.
You're gone.
There's absolutely no chance. But
hey, did you you had a good crack up at Sale Sharks then? Because I always think that'd be quite a good club to play for, Sale. You enjoyed it up there, did you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was good, you know. I think, like, so when I first went there, it was littered, like, with superstars. You know, it's one of the reasons I went there, really, because you obviously had Chabal, Bruno, Lionel Fury there, Juan Lobby, Luke McAllister, you know, they're just top team there, you know. So I thought, but then obviously Saint-André left, and within sort of 3-4 months of me arriving there, so it was difficult then, because we lost a lot of those players. So the next couple of years was quite difficult, but then towards the last part of my career there, I think they started to build a good ethos and a good mentality around the place, and I think obviously they had to do a bit of a transformation of the squad, etc., because a lot of people have left. So look, they've been building slowly, and I think this year obviously they're right in the mix. You know, if the league, touch wood, the league does get going again, you know, they'll be right in the mix for that championship, I reckon.
Yeah, I agree.
But in terms
of
the city and stuff, though, Flats, it's class, you know.
Yeah,
it's a great place to live and good people up there. So yeah, from that perspective, I loved it.
And did you get on well with Pete Anglesey, Big Red?
Big Angie, yeah, no, he's great.
What a boy!
So Angie sort of took over when. So Mike Brewer was the coach, and then before Dines, and in the interim period, Angie was head coach, and we beat Sarries actually in his first game in charge at home. So that was that was a good one. But he's a good bloke, yeah, great bloke.
I remember being on a England tour or Saxons tour or something like that, England A tour or something in 2003, I think, and Steve Diamond and Jim Mallander were the coaches on it, and Angie was one of the players on the tour, but he was playing number 8, and we kept receiving kickoffs and cocking it up basically, and somebody was trying to do something flash or whatever, and Angie just put his hand up and said, how are we going to sort these? And Steve Dunn was like, right, we're going to do about these exits, lads, because they are terrible. And Angie said, look, give it me, right, knock it up, someone else knock it up, and then knock it out. So knock it up, knock it out. And kickoff, someone said, I remember him just licking his hands and rubbing his hands to say, give it me, I'll knock it up. Here, you'll knock it up. That's all he ever said. Knock it up. He was the single best player on that tour. He was our best player. He was absolutely brilliant. But because he was like basically a 45-year-old darts player who happened to be an elite rugby player, who basically was using rugby, got in the way of his social life. It was like they never picked him for England or anything, but he was so good. Knock it up, knock it out.
Peely, do you remember in 2004, Flats, we went to Argentina, right? We did a two-game tour of Argentina. And unfortunately, we had to play South Africa then, on the third. Anyway, first game was in a place called Tucumán in Argentina. It was a horrible place, wasn't it? They were serving thumb soup. Remember that, Peely? Yeah. They come out serving soup, right? And the thumb's in the dish as they're carrying it. We lose that, and we end up having a fairly large night, don't we? We get security.
Oh, you did.
By accident, yeah, I did. Yeah. So, some security guard comes in our room. Is that right? He came in our room, didn't he? Anyway, the following week, we're in Buenos Aires. And Mike Rellick's our coach, right? And because it's actually a close game in the end, it was something like 50-odd, 43 or 44. We lost by like 6 points. So the next following week's in Buenos Aires, and Mike Rellick, who's a coach at the time, he's trying to motivate us, okay, because we need a bit of a kick up the backside. And he sits us in a horseshoe, and he goes through every single player and gives a little soundbite on every single player. And he's going around the hall, thinking that it would motivate us. We end up just trying to keep a straight face. He's going about Gethin Jenkins. He's great charge down at kicks, mate. Keep going, Mellon, keep going. He goes to the second rows, right? You've got Brent Cobain and Gareth Llewellyn, two really old, like, stalwarts. The game, he goes, second rows, or just keep going. Dwayne Peely comes to Peely, goes, Peely, you got a future. And what he said, he comes to me and says, word off the street is you're an impact player, Shanks. Show me different. And he's just going around the whole squad. It was honestly, do you remember it, Peely? It was one of the funniest things.
Didn't he say something to Dal Jones? Said something to Dal.
Fish lips.
I don't know. I can't remember. Fish lips.
Yeah, he's always got this bemused look on his face, doesn't he? With his lips open, like, what?
What? I remember being like, it's not the same situation, but it's like, because you boys were first, like, in the first team for your country, and I was rarely in the first team. I was in the second team. So then you think, when you're in the England A team, what does the coach say to motivate you every time? You don't need him to say anything is the truth, because you don't need anyone to say anything. You just go out and play, don't you? But remember, we had a coach, and we're called Jed Glynn, who's still at Leicester Tigers now. We got on great with Jed, and we had a really good time with England A. And we were playing Scotland A, I think. Ended up being 3-3 on a Friday night. It was just terrible. It was an absolute joke of a game. And before the game, he sat there and he was like, he turned a bit of paper over from memory, and he had our team. Then he had the England first team playing against Scotland at Murrayfield the next day. And he said, I wouldn't swap one of you for any of them. I wouldn't swap one. And I remember someone saying, wouldn't mind having Johnny Wilkinson tonight, Jed. But apart from that, it was like one of those things where you know he's not telling the truth. You absolutely know he's not. And you're like, well, at least you're in the first team. And Mike's like, at least he's kind of being honest. With us, it's like, we are literally the players they didn't want. You don't have to pretend we're not, mate. Yeah, we know.
Right, we'll let you get back to your family now. I'm sure you've got lots to do. A bit of gardening, maybe.
Hey, good luck.
I haven't got much of a garden. It's artificial grass, which is a blessing.
Are you?
Oh yeah.
Are you going bike rides? Anything like that?
So you can brush it. To be honest, we've been going out with a bike now and again. There's actually a golf course not far from here, just down the end of the road. So I've been walking around that a bit with the kids.
Yeah.
And climbing a few trees and just doing bits and bobs.
Making a bow and arrow.
Keep your distance, yeah. Just keep your distance.
Keep your distance.
Thanks for chatting to us. Just quickly, worst dressed player you ever played with?
Stephen Jones.
Ah, yes.
Well done. Easy.
That's it. That's all we want. Loves a gilet and Ben Sherman shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, hanging. Okay, cheers, Peely. Good man.
Stay Peely, safe,
take
lads.
Care, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Bye, boy.
Bye.
Lovely bloke, isn't he?
He's really nice, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Too nice. Too nice.
Too nice. Makes me sick.
But there we go.
Yeah, good form.
That was Dwayne Peel. You know, let us know, people, guys, girls, kids, animals, who you'd like us to ring, because no one is doing anything at the moment. And
no.
If they don't pick up, then, you know, they're just arrogant. They're ignorant.
I'm still waiting for loads of high profile podcasts to ask us to come on and chat about life.
I text Daniel Craig to see if he'd come on.
What's he like? What's he up to?
Well, when I say text, I don't mean text. I haven't even texted him. Yeah. But I just wanted a sound call. I'm not like Alex Popham, who's keeps messaging Gary Barlow about something.
Has he replied yet, Barlow?
I don't know. Oh, hopefully he has. Hi, Gary. Hope you and the family are well. I love that. Pop's trying to do a good thing. He's trying to do something for the NHS, but I love that. Doesn't even
we're
know.
We're going to get... I'll tweet Liam Gallagher after this, see if he wants to come on Monday.
Yes, but tell him to watch his language, all right? Because...
All right, kid, yeah. All right, kid. I'll let you know how my pork goes later on, all right?
Yeah. Let me know on social, all right? I like to see food on... I like to see barbecue food on social media.
And if you don't see a picture of it, what does that mean?
You've eaten it.
No, it was crap.
Yeah, it was rubbish.
Yeah, all I right? cocked it up.
Well, look, all right, stay safe, all right?
Cheers, guys. Ta-da.
And you stay safe
stay
as well.
Stay safe. Ta-da. Stay safe. Stay safe. Stay safe.